Over here, we have over here, we're on page 268. Page 268, I want us to read a little bit more the pasuk of Mishkachti Kimeis Mileiki. David HaMelech. Okay, David HaMelech, here we are, we're talking about David HaMelech today. David wasn't forgotten so fast. David's legacy lives on forever. How many people can consider about them all these years later? We're talking about them. David says, Mishkachti, I was forgotten, Kimeis, like the dead, Mileiv, Mishkachti Kimeis Mileiv. I was forgotten, like the dead is forgotten from the heart. That's a very interesting statement. The dead is forgotten from the heart, not from the mind. We'll discuss in one moment. Chayisi, I was kichli oyved. Yesterday we discussed at great length. There are two different translations of the word kichli oyved. Either means a disposable, I like to use the word disposable. A kli, that is an oyved, it's a adjective, or it means a verb, or it's a verb. Is the word oyved a verb? No, I'm sorry. Is it a verb or is it an adjective? Is the word oyved describing the kli? It's a type of utensil which is destined to go into the garbage, in other words, a disposable kli, or no? The kli is a beautiful, exquisite utensil that you would only find behind glass doors in a museum. And what has happened? It was never meant to be destroyed, but it suffered some type of tragedy. It was destroyed, and it's been lost. And therefore, what do you do now with it? Now that it has been lost, it takes, and people eventually forget about it. So David says, I am no different. The truth is, Rabbi Yossi, a person is the ultimate kli. A human being is a kli sharis. A human being is made from earth and water. Hashem collected earth from all four corners of the world, and from the Mizbech, and kneaded this earth with water, and fashioned a human being. So a human being is really a truth is a utensil. And I'm very fond of this verse on Yom Kippur, the Mizmor Tes in the Kina, I think it's Kina Tes Zayin. It's one of the most popular Kinas on Tisha B'Av. Zechor Asher Oser Tzar Bifinim. It describes what happened on the day of the Churban Bayis Sheni, when Titos Harasha entered into the Kodesh HaKodashim, we stabbed the Kodesh HaKodashim. And that Kina, it says that in the following morning, the people came into them, they surveyed the Mikdash, and they could not find the 93 Kalim. Now, what do you mean the 93 Kalim? So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says that in the Beis HaMikdash there were 93 utensils. All different types of utensils that were needed for the Avodah, for various services. They had a collection. They would take inventory. So the inventory included 93 utensils for all different purposes. And the Yerushalmi says, why were there exactly 93 utensils? It corresponds to the number of times that Hashem's name is mentioned in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. The last, what does Ezra and Nehemiah have to do with the Kalim? Okay, that's a separate question, but it's in Yerushalmi. This is a Perish Yerushalmi.
We're talking about Bayesheni.
Bayesheni, yes. Ezra and Nehemiah is the Bayesheni.
No.
Well, right. Titus or the Bayes Rishon, they were not 93 Kalim, they were more, they were less. I don't know. The Gemara says that there were 93 utensils that were used I don't know if it's every day or used during the year. They had a collection of 93 utensils that were necessary for the Avod. I would imagine on Erev Pesach, when the whole Klal Yisrael came to Kerem Pesach, they needed a lot more than 93 Kalim. Okay, so we're dealing over here with the Kalim that we use exclusively maybe for the Korbanos Sibur. I'm not sure, but this is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says there are 93 Kalim corresponding to the 93 utensils that were 93 utensils that were used by that we use in the Mikdash correspond to 93 times Hashem's name appears in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, so they came in the morning, and it says Nekina, and guess what? They weren't there. They were not to be found. Okay, but there's another pshat. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Lishkas HaGozes. How many members sat in the Lishkas HaGozes? How many members of the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkas HaGozes? 70. And then the Gemara says in the Azara, in the Harabayis, there was another Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Ketana. How many members sat in the Sanhedrin Ketana?
23.
So we have to ask our mathematician here, Mayor, what is 70 plus
23?
71. No, 71 is Machloket, the first Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. The Erste Mishnah is the long page from 77 first daf. It's Machloket, the Chamer Mayor, is the Sanhedrin 70 or 71? Was Moshe in addition to the 70, or was Moshe part of this? It's a Machloket, it's a Machloket. Well, I don't know, Moshe may be different. We're talking about going further in the generations. Was it an even number, 70, or was it 71? Let's assume now, like the Manda Omar that says that it was 70. Okay, there are two opinions. Was the Sanhedrin really 71, or was it 70? We commonly say the Sanhedrin of Ayin of 70. You're right, there's an opinion that says it was 71. It was 70, and then there was the Roish Sanhedrin, who was 71, also to make it into an odd number. But let's work with the opinion that says that it was exactly 70. And then there's the Sanhedrin Ketana. Okay, so what do we have in total?
93.
Okay, so what do we have? 93. So it's when it says in the Kina that he came into the Beis Hamikdash and they could not find the 93 Kalim. What is it referring to?
The Sanhedrin.
Oh, you could call the Sanhedrin a Kli, the holy rabbis. You got it. That's right. A human being is a Kli Sharis. A human being is fashioned from earth and water. Put in the kiln, hardened, go through life. The life is all about being put in the oven. The whole life, when you first comes into this world, it's mush. It's water and earth. And then living on this earth for 120 years, it's one big oven. It's a kiln. And you go through all the difficulties of life, the challenge of life, it makes you hard. It solidifies who you really are. Your life experiences make you who you are. A person indeed is a kli. He's a kli sharis to serve Hashem. And when they came into the Beis Hamikdash, they were ordinarily on a nice day, there were 93 kalim. There were 93 physical utensils that were used in the Mikdash, but there were 93 members of Sanhedrin who served in the Beis HaMikdash, and on this fateful day they came in, they did not see, the 93 were not present. So here David says, I was like a Kli Oved, which once you understand that a person is called a Kli Sharis, and you take the two translations that we said yesterday, you can plug it into the value of a human being. Either David says, I'm a nothing. When you plug this idea into the pasuk, the two perushim we learned yesterday, that changes the whole attitude, the two different attitudes, like, you know, this Nachlekes Narvar, the Musar Yeshivas of pre-war Europe, Narvardit and Slobodka. In Slobodka, they emphasize the Gadlos Ha'adam. And in Narvardit, they emphasize the Shiflos Ha'adam. Narvardit, you dress perfectly. There's someone that I know, there's a certain rabbi that I know, I'm not going to say his name. Every time I see him, he looks like a prince. He dresses, I'm telling you, every dress is so perfectly, it's unbelievable. He's the only one that I know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. He's there. And then there are people, you know, the last time they bought a new hat was like 35 years ago. Okay? There's certain types of people. It's just a matter of whatever it is. But in Narvardik, they did not emphasize the godly, which was shiftless, man is a nothing. And in Slobodka, the emphasis that man is great. So here you have two different, over here, David HaMelech is comparing himself to a Kli, Oved. How do you translate that? Well, there's machloikis between Rashi and the Mitzudas. Is David a member of the school of Narvardik? So he's, I'm a Kli Oved. You know what I am? I'm a Kli Sharis, I serve Hashem, but I'm disposable. I'm a disposable. I'm a nothing. I'm a disposable paper cup. On the other hand, the other parish is that David says, I'm like a Kli, period. Walk on after the most expensive, exquisite, beautiful Kli. The Gavus Ha'adam. It's just that because of my Chato'im, I have forfeited my greatness because of my Averos. If only I will do Teshuvah, I will restore myself to the status of a magnificent utensil that is glorious, that's priceless. There are different types of kalim in this world. There are disposable kalim, and there are kalim which are valued. Okay, now the other point over here that we discussed yesterday, that was a side point, that was over here that I been gone from the mace, I've been forgotten, like a mace me life. Now this is a big topic question, it's a very basic question. Everyone knows the Chazal, and we learned yesterday, and the Makar was interesting. I don't think most people know the source, how to learn it from the Kli, but in any event, the end of the day is that Chazal tells us that a mace is forgotten from a person's heart after 12 months. And that this is famous in the story of Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov Vayimoein lehisnachem. Yaakov Avinu refused to accept comfort for the loss of Yosef. Now, what's interesting is yesterday we explained the makar. Let's go this way first. Their Chazal say, if I'm not mistaken, is that this that a person is forgotten after 12 months is a gzeira min hashamayim. So the Ferish HaChazal, it's a gzeira. In other words, it's not logical. There is no reason why after 12 months a person should forget about a relative. There is no logic. Either you forget about a person immediately or you never forget about a person. There is really no in between according to science. Trust the science. It's a Chazal. Trust the science. Okay? Either you forget immediately. This is the way a human being, the mind of a human being operates. A person dies. It's final. He's gone. There's no return. So you forget right away. Within a day or two, it's all forgotten. Unfortunately, you see that. Sometimes you see that. People know the next day. It's like it never existed. And then there are people they mourn for them forever. They've been mourning for 50 years, they're still mourning over a person. So, okay, it's hard for us to understand. Chazal say that it's a gzeira min hashamayim, that after 12 months, a person who passed away should be forgotten. It's a gzeira. Now that Chazal is a contradiction to the Chazal that we learned yesterday on page 269, that said very clearly, that we learn this reality by comparing it to a utensil. Person has a beautiful utensil and it's destroyed. It's part of the human condition. It's part of the human condition for it to be forgotten after 12 months. It's science. There's a mind, and you go to school, you go to a very good school where you study the way the mind works, and if you have a beautiful utensil, a beautiful object, and it gets lost, so studies have shown the way the mind works, it's after 12 months, you pass a certain threshold where you don't longer think about it. And because the past, now what about a human being? A human being is not a utensil. A human being is, a person is a person. Well, how long does it take to forget? Well, we don't know. But because the two are juxtaposed, so we learn out one from the other. Now here's the question, a dilemma, which doesn't really make a difference. Is this Chazal then a contradiction? Is this Chazal telling us that we compare a human being to a utensil? Science, this is science. There really is no difference between a person and a utensil. A utensil, scientifically, we can prove that the mind begins to forget after 12 months, so too you forget about another person after 12 months. Or is the hekesh between a human being and a utensil just to tell you a zman, but the truth is it doesn't make any sense. A human being, it's a gezerah. It's a gezerah min hashamayim. Hashem does not want people to live their whole life thinking about someone else. So it's a gezerah min hashamayim. That's what Chazal say. It's a gezerah that it should stop. So according, if you want to say that there's not, the two are just compared, either they conflict, they're not, or whatever it is. There are two different ways of looking at this. But one thing we know, there's another Chazal that says that it is a gzeira. And that is used to explain Yosef and Yaakov. Yaakov ayimoein lehisnachem for 22 years. Oh, why is that so? Don't we have the principle that it's a gzeira, that the nay should be forgotten? So the answer is, well, he never really died. since Yosef never died, that's why the Gezerah was never put into effect. The trigger never was pulled, was never activated. So that's why Yosef never forgot about, Yaakov never forgot about Yosef. Okay, that's just a side.
I have an explanation of you forget the met. Say, you don't forget the met. You forget the tsar al hamitar.
The pain.
I never forget my parents. So they're not alive.
So Rav Kalman is asking Yavi's question.
Right.
Rav Kalman is asking the obvious question. Rav Kalman is asking the obvious question. You ask anyone that you know, they will tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. It's been already decades. I haven't forgotten either of them. I remember them better now than I ever did. So what is it saying over here? So Rav Kalman is touching upon, Rav Kalman says the pain. The pain, what do you mean the pain? The pain that they died? I mean, sometimes... So there are different, there are obviously different dimensions to memory. Here, it says here, very clear, this by the way is the source. This is the pasuk. This is the pasuk, there's no other pasuk that talks about this principle other than this pasuk. And it says, Nishkachti, David says about himself, I am forgotten from society, Kines Milev. We all know that in person is the mind and the heart. The mind, the moyach, and the heart. There are two different dimensions. It's the intellectual.
Excuse me, but you could see the difference between Yaakov was by Moenlis not came over a child. And there's a major difference between a parent or a sibling and a child. People who have lost children, I've seen them, like I remember when I was a kid, the people were never the same. 30 years later, they still walk around in the fog.
Okay,
that's only with a child as opposed to a parent or...
Okay, but you know, sometimes parents also... There are definitely children that...
Never get over it.
And the plastic here doesn't differentiate. Are you saying something that's obviously very true, but the source does not differentiate, it just kines. It says the dead. Does not differentiate between a child, a sibling, a parent, a teacher. It doesn't differentiate. I hear what you're saying. I do not know, but obviously this needs an explanation. Okay, so the most simplest explanation is there are two different elements to a person. There is the mind and the heart. The mind and the heart. And in fact, even in the Sifrei Kabbalah, I don't know what I was talking about. There's always a question of what's called death, is brain death, or when the heart stops beating. This is a very big dilemma. This is a big issue. It's much more complicated because of modern medicine, and in some of the Sifrei Kabbalah, they say that we today fool ourselves into thinking that the neshama is only in one place. Alokai neshama shenasata bi tohiri. There's only one neshama, and that one neshama is located in one place. That's not necessarily so. The Kabbalim say that the neshama, that one neshama, can be broken up into many parts, multiple parts, and they're in different locations, and they coordinate together as one. Okay, a neural network. You know, they have this today with Wi-Fi, the very advanced systems of Wi-Fi. They have different, they don't have one, the old fashioned, you have one device. You have one device, and it, you know, it projects. They have very sophisticated, new advance in technology where it's not one. There are multiple transmitters, and they literally work together. They work together. And they say there's a neshama in the brain and there's a neshama in the heart. And they're in communication. And there's a neshama in Shemayim. And there's a neshama, we don't know how all these things work. It's not so simple. We make everything so simple. And here it says that nishkachti kines, I was forgotten, kines milev. After 1 year, the heart, the dimension of emotion, the emotional connection a person has to the mace, it's forgotten. Forgotten doesn't mean it's not there. Also, what does it mean to forget? one thing at a time. But there's another dimension of the intellect, the mind, the impact, the way you conduct yourself. That is never forgotten. That it doesn't say anywhere is forgotten. Rav Kalman was saying it in terms of tsar. Okay, there's no question. Tsar. But I don't know if you need to express in terms of tsar. You can express it in terms of there's an emotional relationship, and then there is an intellectual relationship. By some people, the intellectual relationship is even more powerful than the emotional relationship. Everyone is different. But it's important to know that it says here the word milev, not from the mind. Yeah, and there's another element, and that is there are two.
What you're saying is, why do you observe Shiva in the home of the Nifter? Because you want to, that's where he is, so to speak. But he's also, as the Gemara says in my book, is how long it stays by the Pura, how long it stays there. Is it a month? Is it a year?
It comes back and forth, it says.
What?
It says that it goes back and forth.
Right.
It says that for
so,
what? And these are, that
or
means.
Does it, like you say, maybe it's a little here and a little there?
These are communication. Or whatever, we don't know, we're just saying words. We don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
But whatever these things are. Now the next thing here is another idea you have to appreciate is that there are two different terms for remembrance. There is shikha and there is zikhira. Take for example the mitzvah of zikhiras mechias amalek. Zohar. Okay, remember, and the last word is al lo tishkach. So the first word is zechor, and the last words are lo tishkach. What's the difference? What are you repeating it twice? Either zechor and al lo tishkach. What's the difference? So there are many different ideas to explain the difference. One of the differences. Sorry? Zuchar Nalav. But what does the word mean? So one interpretation is Zuchar means the future. Going into the future, remember. Al Tishkach is the past. In other words, don't ever forget what they did. I know what they did. I remember what they did. Now I meet in front of me a Nazi. A real hardline Nazi. I read a person get a PhD, a Nazi. You get a PhD in the Holocaust. A PhD, you wrote the book. You wrote the book on the Holocaust. And you know exactly what they're all about. And you know everything they ever did, what they did, and how wicked they are. Okay, that was the past. In walks one of them, a new person, an avowed a Nazi. So what do you say? Listen, I will not forget what they did. But you know, you're a nice guy. We're living here in America. There are laws. And you can't really do anything to me because you know, they'll put you in jail. And I know who you are. I know, and you listen to him talk, all the nastiness, the riches is the real deal. A guy walks into the room. Dealing with you is the future.
Well, that you have the pasuk that you're saying on this drash is the pasuk in the bar. When it says Chor al Gishkav, Esa Sherit Tzavta, so that, you know, on the bar, because Moshe is just giving an overview. Don't forget what happened to you in the midbar. You wasted all this time. You know what I mean? In general, all the sins that you did caused you to languish here for 40 years.
Because I understand.
Moshe is it's one phrase, Zohar al Tishkach, that you're saying.
No, I'm saying it's not. It's two separate concepts.
Right. Yes, that's exactly right. It's saying Zohar, but al Tishkach.
So don't
forget what happened. Zohar, remember for the future.
So al Tishkach. So I think I said the other end. Zohar is the past. Zachar means remember, yeah. I made a mistake, it's still
right.
Zachar means the past.
Yes.
Remember every single thing that they did. Go out, go get a PhD in Jewish history and know exactly what they did. That's a mitzvah in and of itself. Okay, I know what they did. Now you walk into a restaurant and who's sitting in front of you? A Nazi. What should I do about it? Nothing. Just listen. Masha hoya kvar hoya. going forward in the future, no. Al tishkach. That's the future. The future. You see someone here in front of you. Take the lessons of what have happened in the past, apply it going forward. Kill him. Kill him. Go take out your weapon, which you no longer have to conceal, and pull the trigger. Right? And then you really finish. Obviously, you can't do that today, obviously, but you understand. But obviously, you have to take precautions and in a responsible way be an activist. Learn from Rav Mechorov. We know we're zoche to have a real activist in our room over here. Hishtaglon. A real hishtaglon who does a lishma. Doesn't get any covered. He helps politicians. He gives them all the information. Rav Mechorov is not a pashta person. He's a real hishtaglon. He's a man of al tishkach. He's not just a zuchor. We're not even a zuchor. He's not only a zuchor, he's an al tishkach. Activist. Al tishkach means being activist. Same thing over here. It says over here that nishkachti kimeis milei. What does this mean? Think about it like this. A person grows up and he imagines, oh, I'm going to get married. How old am I? I'm 20 years old. Oh, soon they're going to start reading me shidduchim. I'm 20 years old. These little kids are going to get married. It's like a birthday party. Okay? Like a birthday party. Oh, who's going to be the Mesader Kiddushin? Who's going to be the Aiden? Who's going to be the read the ksuba? Who's going to dance with me? Dance like a birthday party, right? A big, the kala, who cares what the kala is? The kala is just a hechitimsa for me to have a birthday party. It's actually very good. That way they'll get married. It's actually very good. Don't think so much. Don't think so much. It's very good. It's like a very good technique. It's a wonderful technique. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? It's a birthday party. Have a big fancy wedding. The kala is irrelevant. It's just all of the cover, the fancy, all these. It's all the technique.
A nice collection of money.
So what do you have a 20-year-old kid, right? And he's fantasizing about his wedding. And what does he see in front of him? My parents are going to march me down to the chuppah. My mother is going to be on my left, my father on my right. And he sees daydreaming in the yeshiva thing about his wedding, and in his daydreams, his mother and father are taking him down to the chuppah. Rachmana litzlan, lay alayni, one of his parents dies. And now, goes through the whole process, the avelus, the shiva, and it's now, let's say, 6 months later, he's back in yeshiva, sitting and daydreaming, fantasizing about his wedding, that's going to be coming up soon in a year or two. And he goes through the whole process, and in his mind he comes to the chuppah. What does he see in front of him in his daydream? His mother is on the left, his father is on the right. And then, wait a minute, but this person died. Oy, they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. Oy, who's going to take me down the chuppah? Okay, solution, go weiter. 3 weeks later, he's daydreaming, nachum all about the wedding. Maybe he gets engaged. And he's fantasizing. Okay, the chuppah. Who's going to take? Oh, my mother and father. And all of a sudden, he wakes up. Wait, that's not reality. They're not here. He's not here. She's not here. Oh, okay, we have a backup plan. Fast, let's say this guy didn't get engaged for a year. It's now 13 months later. And now he's daydreaming. And he's thinking about the dancing, and thinking about this and that, and about how much money he got for the shidduch, and his chas and shas. And then he comes to the daydream about going, walking down to the chuppah. He doesn't think anymore that his father and mother are going to be taken down to the chuppah. It's now 13 months since they passed away. When he looks at his future going forward, he does not see the mace part of that. Does he remember them? It's 13 months old. Oh, he remembers them very well. He'll never ever forget them. In fact, the memory of them 13 months later is much stronger than it was before. But when he looks at himself in his future, He forgot already to include them in his future. When they were alive, and he would think about his own personal future, he always would include them in his future. Then they died, or someone died. So when he then looks at his future, he still imagines they're there. Or even though he knows they're not there, it pains him that they're not going to be in his future. But once again gets past 12 months, and he looks forward into the future, he doesn't see them there anymore. Because it's a gzeirah min hashamayim that after 12 months, they're no longer, it's a gzeirah min hashamayim after 12 months that they should no longer be in his subconscious or conscious going into the future. But does he forget about them? No, he'll never forget about them. He will remember them more and more and more. The only difference is he's not including them going forward in his future. That's the gzer ben hashamayim. So when it says over here, David says, Nishkachti, no one cares about me going forward. I'm not part, al tishkach. The message, every time it says Zohar, Zohar means, you know, study Jewish history. Know what happened. But then there's the need of al tishkach. Take the lessons of what you've learned going into the future. David says, you know, I wrote a nice book, Tehillim. I'm a famous guy. They have a statue of me, which you're not allowed to have because I wrote the book. They have me in museums, murals, and pictures. They're going to teach about courses in college and in yeshivas. I'm taking, what are you learning? I'm taking a course in David HaMelech. Okay, very nice. David HaMelech has a legacy. But David says, no one is taking lessons of my life with them into their future. I'm just an interesting source of entertainment. Well, when you go to, a person goes to Rachmana Litzlan, if he goes to watch a movie, Rachmana Litzlan, if you should take the lessons of the movie with you into your life.
Yeah. Many people do.
Rachmana Litzlan, you should come out of the movie, okay, let's kill everyone. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shuvah Chasadim. You ever watch, what's it called? What's the awards? The Oscars? What is the Oscars? There's a Zoyna. She holds in her hand a pesel in Avodah Zarah to celebrate Ritzicha. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvich HaStamim all wrapped up in one package. A Zoyna holding a pesel to celebrate Shvich HaStamim. Right? Doesn't that summarize?
Zoyna named Aska.
This year they did better. This year, the guy tried to do Ritzicha on the spot. He gave him a frask. He gave him, right? This year they upped one more mile. Okay? So you don't, when you go to entertainment, you don't take the lessons of entertainment with you into life. You don't do that. David is a very interesting fellow. We'll have a documentary on him. We'll have courses. We'll study him. We have nothing better to do. But should I take David's contribution to society with me as a moral compass in my life? David says, nah, that they're not going to do. That they don't care about. Yeah, they'll memorialize me. So they'll have tours, make parnasa, make a lot of money, give tours, come to Ir David and look at all the kvarim and talk about David and Migdal David and David. Halacha l'maisa. Is your life any different because of me? Is it my life for all of you is just zechor eis asher osa l'cha David. But did David reach the madreg of al tishkach? To take the lessons of what David have contributed with you to change your life in a noticeable way? David says, nah, nishkachti. They forgot about me.
He doesn't know the future because we sing, David never says, Chaim v'Keyam. How can you forget somebody who's Chaim?
Okay, and obviously, David over here is just saying this as a, you know, as an expression of his tzar. But obviously, it's not true because David has not been forgotten. Obviously, but David over here is just saying that because the, what chait can do, shelo yigre machait, nishkachti kineset. So this is a chil between in a mace. There's a chil between the word zchor, zchira. Zechira never. It never can happen that a maze can be forgotten. Never. But the gzeira min hashamayim is on shikha. A person does not see himself with the maze after 12 months. You move on. You can take the lessons of that person, but the person being there in your mind with you going forward in the guf, that is forgotten after 12 months. But the memory of the person, that lives on forever. No one's denying that. One last point about this. This very interesting idea. This idea I remember seeing really shook me up, this idea. Is that we learn that there's a gzeira. Okay, let's just go back to the very simple, simple concept. Very simple concept. Okay, in its generic form, there's a principle that after 12 months, a meis is nishtakach min halev. Why? So if you ask the average person like me, they'll tell you that it's because of me. Because the mind, we don't know how the mind works. The mind is the most complex machine in the world. And the mind likes to harp and linger on the past. You don't like to give up to just to throw it. So the mind continues to harp on the past for 12 months. After 12 months, the mind is worn out. We've been there, we've done that, enough of harping on the past, it's time to move on. That's the pashat pshat. So I saw one of the first says, that's not the pshat. The mind, you know what, it can forget immediately. The mind doesn't have, there's no nonsense machine. The day after the mace dies, 5 minutes after the mace dies, you already forgot about him. Gone. Forgot about him. Do you know why the mace lingers in your mind? It's because the mace is calling for you in the other world. It's trying to communicate with you. The reason why the mace is not nishtakach min alev is not because of you. You would forget about the mace in a second. Again, we're talking generic terms, not talking about other people telling you, what are you talking about? You're right. But let's just look at a different dimension. It's not because of you. This has nothing to do with you. You're irrelevant to this situation. It's the mace. The mace is trying to communicate, and those pings, you know, like in computers, you send like a little a signal, like are you there? Are you there? A cell phone? Are you there? Like, you know, Waze is communicating with the satellite. I don't want anything. I just want to know if the satellite is operational today. Ping. It's called a ping. You just send a teeny, teeny piece of information, a signal to the satellite, to the node, to where you're connecting to, just to see if it's alive. The mace is trying to communicate with you, sending signals. After 12 months, the mace already has enough of this. And the mace says, no more, I'm not sending out any more signals.
This is very relevant to this week's parsha. Moshe says in the most holy, and he wants to, you know, like in the Bibriyah Yivrashem, the Fatsa Saw Adam was Piyah. Why in particular did Moshe want this particularly to happen? Because since a mace communicates with the living, he wanted Korah to be incommunicado.
When he's
so
dead.
He goes in alive, he goes down alive in there. He is in a phantom zone. He's not able to communicate with the living.
Nishtahi nishtahe.
This is the Lamude Nisan on that.
Very good.
That was the purpose of it. Doesn't want Korach to be any way, shape, or form be able to communicate with those who are alive.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, so what is the proof to this? Want to say something about this? Is the mace does not the story. I mean, I told you this story before with the Chafetz Chaim. I heard this by a yard side event for someone who died very young. very young, and it was a Raps, it was Aaron Raps. He was my Rebbe in Chaim Brun, in 8th grade, who spoke at this Yahrzeit Seuda event for a boy who died, very young. And he said over a story, I cannot tell you the story, it's true or not, I don't know. These things you have no idea. And the story is that the Chofetz Chaim's daughter, who I think is buried here, right? She's here. And the one which is in America, over here in Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And so she claims, this is the story that shows every single year, she claims the Chofetz Chaim came to her in a dream to say hello. Her father came to her in a dream, I don't know exactly when, came to say hello to her. And this went on for 50 years. And after 50 years, she said to her father, "Father, you know, every time you come, I've noticed you're blurry. When you first came to me the first time, be'aslak maria ha'mi'ira, you know, you were clear. Now, every subsequent year, my vision of you gets worse and worse. And it's not because I have cataracts. I have good eyesight. I have very good eyesight. Why every year is it getting worse and worse? It's more foggy." So he said to her, "It's because every year, as time goes on, the neshama in Shemayim goes higher and higher. And the distance between me and you is further and further. And therefore, when you're looking at me, you're looking at me from a greater distance every subsequent year. And just like in this world, in the Olam HaTeva, when you see something up close, you see it clearly. But from a distance, it's not as clear. It's blurred. So too, with the neshama, it's the same thing. When you're seeing me, when your neshama is seeing me in this world in a dream, there's a distance, a spiritual distance, and the spiritual world parallels the physical world, and your vision of me is not clear because of the greater distance." So that parallels with what we just said, is that the neshama, it's not that the person is forgetting about the neshama. The person is not a player in this concept. It's the neshama is desperately trying to communicate with the living. But once the neshama already, after 12 months, the neshama already has passed, is already distanced to a degree where you no longer pick up the signals. The signals, you're too far, right? Yeah, over here, Wi-Fi. You see over here in this room over here, see this little box? This is the router. I plugged in over here to this router, a device I bought on Amazon for $19. It's a little teeny Wi-Fi. You plug into the router, and this computer is wireless to that router. This only costs $19, this wireless router. You go out of the room, it doesn't work already. It's only within like 20 feet, not more than 20 feet. Once you get out into the hallway, there's no signal. There's no signal. Once you go 12 months, the neshama goes 12 months. The neshama goes higher, higher, higher. The neshama is out of range. The neshama is out of range when it tries to communicate with the living. The distance is too great. You can't pick up those pings. You can't pick up the signal anymore. Or maybe you want to say that the neshama doesn't want to know from this world. Maybe you want to say that even though the neshama can communicate, it's not interesting. They're having such a good time there. Who cares about this world? That's what they say. They say that all these tzaddikim, they say before they die, "I am not going into Gan Eden until they bring Mashiach. I will not enter, and you're going to see, I'm going to be back." And then they die. And what happened? Where's Mashiach? What happened? So then they tell you all these spooky stories, which I don't even believe they're true. They say that life is so good, they forgot about us. You know the joke about a couple comes to Shemayim. So I think Mr. Bloom told us. Mr. Bloom told us to me, I come to Shemayim, and they take him to Gan Eden, and they have all this delicious smorgasbord, the most delicious food you've ever seen in your whole life. And you can eat all you want, you don't gain weight, and you don't have to go to a doctor. So the person says, "Why do we wait? So why do we torture ourselves in this world to diet and to do? We should have just been irresponsible and leave the world, so we could have been nana from this 5 years." 10 years or faster. Okay, these are all funny jokes. But in any event, not so funny really, but in any event, no one's here laughing. Okay, in any event, let us proceed. Enough said on this spooky topic of Nishkachti Kimeis Mileiv. It's a very famous Chazal. Chazal talk about this all over the place. This is the Makar. Let's go now to Pasuk Yud Dalit. Yud Dal. Ki Yod Al Keisko. Okay, Yud Dalit. Ki Shamati Dibas Rabim Mogor. I've heard the Dibas, this is a good Pasuk of the Chavetz Chaim of Lashon Hara, the Dibas Rabin, now what does it mean over here, the word Mogor? Mogor means fear.
Yeah.
Okay, Dibas Rabin, Mogor, Misaviv, from all sides, Bivostam Yochad, Allah, when they conspire, like a Vad. What's what Bivostam is they conspire. Over here, in look in the Mitzudah Sion, he says something very interesting. The word Bivostam comes from the word the word yesoid. A yesoid means a foundation. A foundation. The foundation is what keeps the structure in place. The conspiracy, a conspiracy is when people, is the foundation of the plan. Okay, they are, there's a message, a mission statement. Okay, you have a, every organization, tax deductible organization, must have a mission statement. It's hilarious to read some of these mission statements. You have a yeshiva. Every yeshiva, legally, in order for them to get money from Uncle Sam, needs to have a mission statement. Go try to find the mission statement for the National Council of Israel. I'm going to call you, have it. Did you write it? Facts. Did you write it? Who wrote it?
Isn't that the mission to get the money?
You got it. You got it. That's what you. That is the best thing we've heard today. Yes, that is the mission statement. We have an organization. Our mission statement is to have a yeshiva in order to milk Uncle Sam dry. That's the goal. The goal is give us money. Give us money. I remember once my parents were assisted in a certain yeshiva in Eretz that they were very close to. They were very close to this yeshiva. And they were basically the American address. The American people, they had no American, it was a tax-exempt organization. And you know, you just can't send money, you can't send money just to the organization because you're not going to get a tax deduction. So you have to get follow with the IRS. So they didn't do it. This was done by the yeshiva. And because my parents were very close to the people that were involved, they were asked to be the American address where people can send the checks. To send the checks, and it was always friends of American friends of so-and-so. And they had a tax ID number. It was all on the books, 100 on the books, tax ID number. And then, I remember many, many years ago, all of a sudden, one year, the government started checking with the American, the tax ID, and they said the paperwork is not in order. And there are things that have to be, you gotta fill all the loose ends. And they had to go, and one of the things that was missing was the mission statement of the organization, the American Friends. They wanted, it was no good, or they wanted, they didn't have it. So I remember my father wrote, I think I typed it off of him or something, the mission statement. And it was very eloquent. I was very impressed. The mission statement, and every organization has to have a mission statement.
I have read many, many mission
statements. Some are better than others.
Yeah, my son's seminary going to Lakewood also.
We have to have a mission statement,
right.
And it's very interesting to see. It's fascinating. It really is a fascinating when you force a person to summarize what is the purpose of this organization.
You get paid a lot of money to do it.
So you get a top-notch lawyer. I don't think today it's essential. You don't really go online and just plagiarize someone else's mission statement.
Well, that you say that, my wife one summer a few years ago, she had when they were giving government for the summer programs for the early childhood centers. So she had to evaluate them and take everything. She had to read the mission statement and all of them. She laughed because she came home and she said three of them were written by the same person, obviously, but they were word for word the same.
Yeah, they take off the internet. There's a template.
Look at the addresses.
It doesn't matter. It's just paperwork.
It
doesn't matter. It's just public. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be anything special. What difference does it make? Right. Okay, whatever. But in any event, this over here, Dado here saying over here is that these two have conspired against. What is the word bihivostam? Bihivostam. They conspire. So the Mitzvah Sion says something very interesting. He says the shorish of the word bihivostam is yesoid, a foundation. What do you mean a conspiracy is not a foundation? No, it is. It's a letter. It's a council. But he's saying, what does it mean a council? And what's the council? So he says that the shorish is the word yesoid. What's the yesoid? When it was established.
Right.
So, but a conspiracy, when you talk about a when you say that if something was established, there's a land, there's a nation.
When did this idea come to fruition?
Oh, idea.
Yeah, it could be either.
So it's very important. There is a paper, a document. Okay, I forgot my history. There's the name of a document that where Hitler, Yimach Shemai V'Zichron, all of his people, they got together before the war, and they basically have a document to exterminate.
The Wannsee Conference.
The Wannsee Conference.
Where they came up with the final solution.
The final solution. It's a document. It's a document. Okay, you talk about in government. They every so often they release, they have these like, they remember not so long ago they had this Mishigas, a commission of misinformation. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? Then they appointed this mamish woman, a Meshugana, he never saw your whole life, like out of her mind. Mamish, a nutcase, to be the commissioner of misinformation. So now, after the whole world started laughing, and they were so embarrassed, and they had to just cancel the whole thing. Now, all of a sudden, a few weeks later,
they went underground.
All of a sudden now, they released the documents. Basically, the mission statement of the purpose of this commission. And it doesn't say such nice things in this mission statement. This is called the Yesoid. Whenever you have an idea, over here there's an agenda. The agenda over here of David's enemies are to destroy David. They conspire. When they conspire, there has to be a goal. There has to be a yesoid, a foundational principle upon which they operate. That's bihivostam. When they conspire, they came together and amongst themselves issued a foundational principle of what our goal is. And we will do everything in our power to achieve that goal. And what is the mission statement? Get rid of David. Get him out. Get him out of this world. Eliminate David. That is the long and short version of the foundational principle of David's enemies. And we will do everything that in our power to implement this, the achievement of this foundational principle of eliminating David. Bivostam yachar alai, lokachas nafshi zamamu, plan. We have different words here. We have over here the word zamamu means the word zamamu means to take my neshama. Did they plan? They first issued a foundational principle of what is the goal, and then they issued a plan of action to implement, to achieve the ultimate goal. There are two different steps. Yeah, this is a very good planning. No, these people here, they're very well organized. Every time you have you want to do something, this talk is very good. You have to know what the talk is. There's a lot of truth or a lot of profundity in demanding that an organization have a mission statement. There's something very powerful to that. And then, what is your plan to achieve the mission? How are you going to go about raising the money? How are you going about achieving your goals? This pasuk says it all. There are two parts. Bihivostom yachad olai. They all got together around me and they issued a mission statement, a foundational principle upon what our organization is all about. The anti-Davids. How do you say it?
The never Davids.
The never, very good. The never Davids. You have to heavily steeped in politics to appreciate what Rav Chol said. The never Davids. The organization, and what is the, it's a tax deductible, you know? They have an IRS number. I'm sure that never Trumps have an IRS in Istan, right? They have to raise money. Mistaver, they have
By the way,
it's America.
Since you mentioned, I just want to let you know that the first day I learned that the term Jewish organization is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
The Jewish, how about the Jewish Nazi? Okay, so there are two parts. There is the foundational principle, the never David can never be the king, and then there is Lakachas Navshin Zamamu, the plan to implement the never Davids. Let's look at the Mitzudas David Pasuk Yudalit. It's on the page here on the bottom of page 268. Dibas Rabim Divrei Ra Me Rabim Ha Mefachtim Oisi Misaviv. So the Mitzudas David, it's a hard word, it's a hard pasuk to translate. The word Mogor Misaviv is connected to the word Dibas Rabim. David says, Kishamati, I have listening devices, I eavesdrop on all my enemies, and I hear the Dibas Rabim Mogor Misaviv. I hear the Lashon Hara, I hear the words of evil of many people around me that are scaring me. The words that I hear of the rabbin are mogor, are frightening. It's frightening to listen to what people are saying. People are promoting violence, okay, rage. They're promoting that they should protest in front of my house. They should burn down my palace. The words that I hear out there in the street on social media, mogor misaviv, from all around, every network. Whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's the mainstream media, misaviv, all forms of media, mogor. It's frightening. It's frightening what I hear. It's frightening the Dibas Rabim. It's frightening. And what are they doing next? Next it says, the Vosam, these people, not only are they just, it's not just chatter on social media and in the street at rallies and protests, they're actually organizing formally into organizations that have names and have bank accounts to raise money. And they have a mission statement, what their agenda is, because they're not happy with the situation for whatever reason. Bivosam, b'ma'ashehem misyotzim olai kulam yachad. They're all coming together to conspire. The choshrim, and not only that, they have a plan.
A coordinated effort.
And the plan is violent. The plan over here is lokachas nafshi. Uritzan alay mar uvavur shani shemei kol zevani ki ilay v'lo ki ilay v'lo yiftach piv. I don't say a word. Lo zani shachlach. And now he's going back to the previous pasuk. To the previous pasuk. That's why I am forgotten. The enei kol. No one cares about me anymore. They're going to run me over. Ki choshem shakola tivasi, because they believe I have no hope. This pasuk mamash, we have, you want to understand what this pasuk means? Current events. Just turn on, look around you in the media, what's going on over here. You have people who are not happy with the situation, and they make a lot of noise. Remember, empty cans.
And more so, empty cans
make a lot of noise. What?
And they urge others.
There's others. The Dibas Rabim Mogor Misaviv. The discussion, the words, the rhetoric that you hear in the street is frightening. And it's coming from the Rabbim Misaviv from all sides.
From the leaders.
From all sides. It's from all over, it says. Bivostam yachad Allah. Bivostam yachad Allah. And then you go to the next level. The next level is they don't just talk, they organize, they coordinate, as Michal says. They coordinate to achieve their goal, and they have their agenda. And they become an organization. An organization means money. They get at bank accounts. They funnel money in order. You can't do anything without money. Once you go and you open up a bank account and people give donations to a certain organization, that's the final. That's where always in the rule in law enforcement is. If you watch enough movies, you'll learn. Follow the money. And when you have people just stam on Narishkai, on Twitter and Facebook, they just stam shtus, they talk. All right, that's a half a problem. But when then all of a sudden they open the bank accounts and people are giving money to support their cause, you know you're now in a lot of trouble. Now it's an organization, money's coming in. With money you can do things, you can do a lot with money. And then if it goes to the next level of violence, you're finished. Lokachas nafshi, to take my neshama, to murder me. That's really scary. To murder me, zamamu mitzudais, vaniblo zani shkovinikal pichosh. Yes, that's the mizlti. Rashi pasuk yudalid. Rashi yudalid dibas rabim. Atzas rabim. Dibas, what was that word?
Oh, the French word?
Yeah.
Parol dis. Interesting. Parol means to speak. To speak. Dis means to say. So it's really both. He translates it as gossip.
Gossip. That's
okay. Yeah, because if parol is more, you know, I could be speaking godly, if I speak to myself.
Sorry? The French word is parlitz. Parlitz is the French word. Rashi says it. Rashi quotes that. It means gossip. Gossip. Now, that's a chiddush because that's not really what it means here in the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, it says. Okay, yeah, get far. Maybe l'shoy. I'm sorry. And that's what I meant. Right. The rumors. The gossip. However, look at what Rashi quotes. Rashi goes on to say, "L'shoyin doivei sifsei yeshenim." Now, in that context, that pasuk, I don't think you would say the English word gossip. It means to murmur. Doivei is the murmuring of the lips of the dead. Okay, the word murmur, the simple translation of the word doivei sifsei yeshenim is a concept which means dead, someone who's dead. Even though they're dead, they're talking. They're talking in the grave. What are they saying? Well, you know, it all depends on you know what the situation is. They're talking in the grave. Okay? But I don't think anyone would say the word dovev in this context means gossip. Those that are dead are not engaging in gossip. Maybe they are, who knows? But those that are like, I know someone told me recently that maybe I told this, that this fellow who died. So he says, you know, this guy, he says to me, I'll tell you two quick jokes. But one joke is, this fellow who died, you know, this fellow, when he was alive, to his last day, he had this incredible love to make money. He was very rich, and he was very successful. And all he wanted to do his whole life was nothing more than make money. Money. And therefore, I can tell you with certainty that now that he's dead, and he's in Shemayim, somehow, in Shemayim, he's making money. That's what he did in his life. That's what he's doing in Shemayim. He's making money. I don't know. I there's a song that I know in Yeshiva. He died very young, and he made a lot of noise. He spoke his mind very, very strict. So after he passed away, so one guy said to me, one thing I can tell you, in Shemayim, he's making a lot of noise. That's what he did in this world. Another joke is they said about Sheh Brachas. So they say that they say Al Pi Kabbal that by a wedding, all of the neshamas of the Zaydis, the Babis, the Zaydis, the Friedik, they all come to a chasana. So this guy was telling him, yeah. So he says, you know, I think he told him, then he turns to his friend, he says, you know, this guy was telling me that Al Pi Kabbal, all the Babis and the Zaydis, they come from Shemayim to the chasana. Here we are. You should watch you. I know that guy Zayda. I know who's Zayda. Make sure you watch your wallet. If he's coming down here, very careful. If he's coming here, make sure he doesn't pickpocket you. So the question over here is, doivev. When it says the word doivev, what does it mean doivev? No one's going to tell you, I'm sorry, that the word doivev in this context means gossip. Doivev here means murmur. Mutter. A murmur, your lips are moving, you can barely hear, you have to bend your ear. What are you saying?
Muttering.
So in this context, go back to the pasuk. Ki shamati dibas rabim. I hear the dibas rabim. The rabachol, according to the old French word, means to gossip. That's right. That makes a lot of sense. But Rashi goes weiter, he quotes his pasuk, the pasuk of David, Sifse Yeshenim, V'chein Kol Diba Shel Mikra. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds more like, you know, if you just look at what it is over here, David Sifse Yeshenim, it means they're secretly conspiring. When you have a conspiracy, you don't go publicize it. If you're trying to go assassinate someone, you don't go posting your plans on Facebook. It's quiet, like the word murmur. When you say that the lips of the dead are murmuring, you don't hear it. You got to bend down and listen very carefully to decipher. So that would seemingly fit in very well to this pasuk.
But here it says he hears.
I'm here because David is paying attention. You have to pay close attention. If you're not paying attention, then you're not going to hear anything.
Yeah.
But if it's relevant for you, because I'm going to be the victim of this case, you're paying close attention. So even though they're trying very quietly to conspire amongst themselves and to communicate low key, not to hear it, but since it's relevant to David, David is paying close attention. Okay, so that has to be discussed. The chinkul disher mekra. Magor misadiv shemis yorin umifachtin oisi. What I hear is terrifying to me. I hear what they're planning to do to me, and Mogor misadiv, I am afraid. I'm afraid of what I hear.
You said the gossip. The Targum says, it's translated as tiv bish.
Very good. Tiv means bad. Tiv means, let me find, bad nature. Let me go to Targum, very good, let me see.
That's like almost like gossip. Tiv bish. Yudalit in the Targum.
Tiv bish. So what does it mean, tiv bish? What do those words mean? I don't know what those words mean.
I think that's close to gossip.
It means ra. What does tiv mean? Tiv means the nature. Tiv is speech. It means speech. I don't know the word tiv. I don't know what this word means. It's a shame. We have to really spend more time on the Targum. Targum has all the secrets. And Mordechai, you're right. We have to spend more time on the Targum. All the secrets are on the Targum. All right, let's finish up. Magar mitzadev shem mishel b'achnasi b'ivastam b'his yuatsam. Bivasa means they take counsel, say something similar, they're taking counsel against me. Zamamu Loshan Machashava, they're planning. Okay. Leo just seems in my Chazal and know. Okay, so we have to stop over here. Tezvav, and years from tomorrow, before we conclude on where Machol is gonna come up and speak to us one more time.
Rabbi, please give your attention to Rabbi Chol. Thank you, Rabbi Levine. At the risk of repeating myself, since I said this on Thursday, I don't know how many of you have already voted, but if you haven't, today is the day. I mentioned on Thursday how, you know, if there's any single issue, it's the issue of our yeshivas and the tax on all our yeshivas. And, you know, as I said, petitions are nice, but ideologues don't really care. And we have a governor who's an ideologue. So it's important today to vote, if you're voting in the Democrat Party, to vote against Kathy Hochul, say for Tom Suozzi, who's not insane, and at least weaken her, especially in a low turnout, and then get ready in November to vote against her again. If you're voting on the Republican Party, which I don't know how many of you are, then I recommend Zeldin, despite all the ad hominem attacks that on him. But the main thing is yeshivas, and to prove or disprove, I should say, that the well-known notion that frum Jews don't vote. Apathy is our enemy.
Is there anything to, other referendums to vote on?
No.
I have a sample ballot here. Anyone who wants to look at it?
You know that the FJJ is backing Hochul, or whatever her name is?
Is that
surprising?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a short break. A short break, then we'll talk about
it. I want to see the sample ballot.
I mean, the Democratic.